Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Welcome to the show, everybody. We are excited to have another RV shopping story.
Yeah.
I love this new series.
This is fun. So if you missed it, you'll want to go back to an episode in May where we had Carrie Cox from TravelsWithBirdie.com on the show to talk about her upgrade to her latest travel trailer addition to the family. And we talked kind of about her old trailer and what wasn't working and why they wanted to upgrade. And we talked about the new one. It was really fun. And we've done this a few times in the past. I mean, we actually didn't label it like an RV show. Shopping story.
But now we are.
But I think that it helps people that are out there wondering what RV is right for them. It helps them like to hear the stories of what other people think about and go through and
there's
decide
always
on.
Drama. There's always conflict. There's always and for this we wanted to do a class A and we immediately thought of Karen and David Tost from the camping playlist because we just know they love their class A. So welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, we're so happy to have you on the show. For those of our listeners that maybe haven't heard you and your many great reviews over on our Campground of the Week podcast, tell everybody just a little bit about yourselves.
So we live and work in Silicon Valley, Northern California. We have been RVing for about 3 years with our two kids, Mia and Jake, who are 5 and 7. Yeah, and we love it. It's been great. We also, our name, The Camping Playlist, kind of references our love for music. So we often curate playlists over on Spotify at The Camping Playlist also.
All right. Now we are going to talk all about your Class A motorhome and sort of how this was your first RV purchase. So it's great. We're going to hear the story.
But it's in the blood for them.
They have a strong pedigree, okay, for their RV. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Thetford, for sponsoring this episode of RV Atlas. Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they've made RV travel a more enjoyable experience for over 50 years. And you can see a complete lineup of products over at Thetford.com. All right. We are ready to dive in. Now, Jeremy just mentioned it's in your blood. You have camping experience, but take us back to the beginning and when you decided to go on an RV hunt.
So we had known for a long time that we eventually wanted to get an RV. And at the time that we really started considering it, our kids were 2 and 4. And we had a conversation one day at home where we were thinking, so to go back to what Jeremy was saying, both of us grew up RVing. David's parents used to take him RVing when he was young. My grandparents took me and my brother RVing. It was just a pastime that we had such fond memories of. So it was something that we knew we wanted to introduce with our own kids. The reason that we decided to buy when we did was that David's parents live locally near us, and they have an RV. They continue to RV. And we thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if we got our RV now and were able to go with them, and that our kids were able to create memories, that we were able to create memories as a family with David's parents while they still go. So that kind of prompted our decision when we did.
And I know I think one of the big moments was we had read this article somewhere that talked about how there are 940 weekends between the time your kids are born and they turn 18. And we thought, that doesn't sound like many. So we need to get on this and kind of made that decision.
And get the time with our kids while they still actually wanted to hang out with us.
Yeah, those numbers make you shudder, right? Like when somebody ever mentions 18 summers, I just want to like, I get sick to my stomach. Like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, how do you only have 18 summers?
it focuses the mind.
Yeah, you do get this feeling in you like time is precious, and you know it is. And we always say, like, what's the parental saying, that like it's the longest, you know, like the longest days and the shortest years, right? The days are long and the years are short, and that's definitely been our experience as parents. Things are flying by. So you started your RV, you know, kind of hunt. You were like, okay, we definitely want to do this. Weekends are passing us by. So what were you looking at? What was on the table?
You know, really most everything was on the table. You know, the first thing we were looking at was travel trailers. And with the travel trailers, just the first thing that gets you is the cost difference between a travel trailer and a motorized, right? It's just a fraction of what you'll pay. And so that was always something that was really appealing to us. So, you know, we looked at, you know, all the different models. You know, we were always drawn, you know, to the Airstreams because, you know, just of, you know, how beautiful they are and the reputation they had, but, you know, saw some great models, you know, from Jayco and just others, but then quickly realized that, you know, in order to do that, you need to, you know, have a tow truck or something to tow it with. So we started to move over towards the motorized, you know, RVs, specifically Class A's and Class C's.
You know, it's interesting to me that you bring up not wanting a tow vehicle. And we have had somebody else on the show, Lauren Eber from California, who also was really influenced in her decision to go motorized by her lack of desire for a big tow vehicle in her commute out of in the LA area every day.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just, you know, it was another vehicle to purchase. And, you know, depending on whether you want to go used and whether you want to go half ton or full ton, you know, there's this misconception that trucks are not cheap. You know, they can get into $40,000-$50,000 if you buy something new. And then you get the gas mileage, you know, tied into it as well, and that you get with them. And so it just, for us, it just didn't seem right. And I don't know. Karen always said, "You're not a truck guy, David." So
I'm surprised that didn't challenge you to go buy a truck.
When Stephanie and I do RV show seminars, we always do that math for people. I'm always like, okay, well, if you spend 40 to 50K on a truck and you spend 20 to 30K on a trailer, that is the price of a Class C. And you see some people's eyes kind of like light up, like, oh, wait a second. So you're exactly right. You do need to think about it that way, particularly if you don't have the truck already.
So what did you start thinking in terms of the pros that were in the motorized column?
So, you know, for the motorized, I think there's a lot of different types of RVers out there, right? There's the weekend warriors that are like us. There's the, you know, the folks that they use RVs for different purposes, whether it's tailgating or, you know, taking your kids to a sports tournament. For us, we were weekend warriors, but part of the allure was going on lengthy road trips as well. Part of why we RV is we like that lengthy road trip. And, you know, we like to go out for 2 or 3 weeks. And so some of the pros to the Class A's are, you know, things like generators, you know, come standard where they won't on a trailer. And when we're taking our road trips, there's many instances where we pull over at a rest stop or a truck stop and, you know, pop on the generator, make lunch, have the AC going. When we're doing long trips, you know, the kids can run to the restroom or we can grab something out of the fridge without having to pull over. So those are all things that make our, you know, full day of driving a bit more comfortable with two young kids. And then there's also the gas mileage, although it's not as good as a truck. You're talking an 80-gallon gas tank, so you're not constantly pulling over for gas. You can easily get a full day of driving without having to pull into a gas station and fill up.
Jeremy loves bringing that up.
Well, listen, our truck, F-250 gas, and our toy hauler get the same MPG as a Class A. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, some truck trailer combos might do better than you guys, but there's plenty of people out there with towables that are probably getting right about the gas mileage you get, and they're stopping more for gas. Right.
Exactly. They don't have that 80-gallon tank, right?
So rub it in, David. Rub it in.
Well, the ease of setup was also a big draw for you, right?
It was. So we loved the idea, you know, that you could just pull into your campsite, push a button, level, and be ready to go. You know, kind of get to that campfire relaxation piece that we love so much. And it was sort of solidified when we started going to campgrounds and seeing people pull in and have to do the manual leveling where they're backing up an inch and pulling forward an inch to try and get, you know, up on the stabilizing, the leveling block.
Everyone's gathering around and watching.
So for us, and particularly because, you know, we're the weekend warrior lifestyle, you know, our time at the campground is limited. So the less we can spend on setting up and the more we can spend on relaxation, the better.
Now, okay, so you were tipped to the motorized part of the equation, and now you're deciding between an A and a C. Take us down that thought reasoning journey.
Yeah, so, you know, the C, just to put it simply, just never felt right for us. I'll be honest, we both grew up in Class A's, so that was always kind of, you know, we had that. We were always partial to them, I think, because we were comfortable with them and spent so much time in them. But one of the things I found, and I've heard a lot of people write about or talk about, that they're more comfortable in Class C's, and that wasn't the case for us. I think there's that misconception that because a Class C is on that Ford truck or van, you know, chassis, that it's that familiar feeling that you're in a truck or a van, but it's an RV. But what I found was, sitting in that cab, you have the bunk overhead that comes out above you, and then the body of the rig on either side comes out. You know, it overhangs from the cab, and it just felt claustrophobic to us, and it just didn't feel comfortable to drive. It felt like there was more blind spots to driving it. And then once you get in that Class A, and you have a Class A windshield, and you just, it's wide open. It just felt much better to drive, and I found it to actually be easier to drive.
I can see that. I think, though, that it's a mental hurdle. So everything you're saying about the Class C driving experience resonates with me in terms of that overhang was very hard for me to get used to driving. It almost like threw me off visually. Mm-hmm. And I get the width, too, because you're not used to being wider, right, than you, like the body of the truck when you're driving it. But I think that mentally, when it was first driving a Class C, it really did feel the same as driving, like I always say, the Suburban that I got my driver's license in, and like, you know, my 1987 Suburban or something, you know, that same feel. Whereas the Class A, while it may actually be easier to drive, it feels so different when you get into that driver's seat initially. You feel high and almost like you're about to pitch out the windshield. Like, yeah. And I think that it's a mental game. Like, it doesn't feel like any driving cab you've ever been in before, so you kind of panic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think most people should drive both when they're looking for RVs, if they're looking for a C or an A, and then realize, because I was terrified the first time, you know, I drove a Class A. And then, you know, after you start driving it, it really just, it feels great. And once you learn, you know, your turning ratios and when to start turning, it really is pretty simple.
And you like the beautiful views out the front window, don't you?
Oh my gosh. When you drive up the coast, or, you know, you turn around this blind corner and there's just this beautiful view. It's like you're sitting in front of a movie screen. It's great.
And I tend to be, I don't do much driving. And so I tend to be on co-pilot duty. And so it makes for really great feet up on the dashboard photo opportunities with the really big windshield and the coast flying by. So
your next point was, I think, I hadn't really thought of this, but I think that it really resonated with me. You talk about how you felt like the driving area more easily conformed into living area in the Class A than it did in the Class C. And from our experiences in both as rentals, I think that is spot on. And it's not necessarily something that I would have thought to verbalize to people.
It's true. Yeah. So we have both of our driver's seat and our passenger seat swivel around. So they actually, in essence, become two, you know, really comfortable chairs as part of our living area. So we've got a couch, we've got the dinette, and then we've got these two chairs. And when we're driving, they face forward. The minute we park, we swivel them around. It is David's seat of choice.
It's like my lounger. Yeah.
For morning coffee. And and it really does extend the living space when you're, parked and set up.
And I know some of the C's have that option. I want to say the Leprechaun, I think Coachman, I think that was one of the few that did have the swivel. However, you're underneath the bunk. So it's that enclosed feeling where the A is just so, so wide open that it does really extend out the living
totally
space.
Agree. It is very rare to see a C where the seats swivel around because they're often dropped down.
Right, exactly.
But then if you think about it too, I'm kind of maybe realizing something I haven't exactly realized before. You could have a smaller A maybe. Because if you have just an A with a dinette and the two seats swivel around, like that would be good to go for us, right?
Right.
Where in a C, I want a dinette and a couch. So maybe it allows for a little bit more flexibility in a smaller rig.
Turns. All right. Now, Karen and David absolutely love their Class A, right? Which is one of the reasons we wanted them to come on the show for this episode. But they are going to be really good RVers and share the downsides of the Class A for them also. Because just like when you're house shopping and your realtor is like, oh my gosh, you can't have it all. You're going to have to make trade-offs. The same is true for RVs, and people need to like get that into their head before they live a life of disappointment jumping from RV to RV because they expect the unicorn out there. But before we talk to them about some of those downsides, we want to thank our sponsor, Thetford.
Part of living your best life at the campground is making sure that your RV stays in its best condition. And Stephanie and I firmly believe that you will be a happier camper if you use products that are specifically developed for your RV, which is not the same as your home.
It's not, and you shouldn't bring that home bathroom toilet tissue out to your RV. I swear, even if it says septic safe, because the whole point of having RV toilet tissue is that it's developed and tested to break down in an RV black tank, not a septic system, not your regular sewer at home, right? So we always have used Thetford AquaSoft 2-ply RV toilet tissue and things like AquaChem holding tank treatments. We do not get smelly black tanks. We don't have to go online panicking and saying to everybody, help, we clog the toilet. Like, we pretty much have a drama-free black tank existence.
Yeah, and we also have a great PDF on our website that gives all of these types of products from Thetford, or you could just head on over to thetford.com to see a complete range of the products.
Yeah, it's on the resources page. So if you go to rvfta.com/resources, I put together like a nice little list of PDFs and everything like that. So helpful. All right.
Karen and David, I'm sorry that we have to end on the negative. I mean, we'll let you triumph at the end, but give us some of the downsides. Because like Stephanie said, I just don't believe you can have it all.
Yeah, and you're right? There is no purple unicorn out there that's just the perfect RV. That, I think you can find the RV that's best for your family. But as with anything, there's going to be, goods and bads. And I think with the Class A, I get a little jealous when I see that, class C on the Mercedes chassis or even the Class B, and, they can drive through town and they're more nimble. So with the A, you are going to be, it's a bigger RV to just trek around, right? So what we found was that, we couldn't take it into, cities or into the national parks because it just is too big and some of those roads are so narrow. So that was one of the big issues we had to adjust to. And then the other is if you're not, with a trailer, you have your tow vehicle and you can unhook at the campsite and then go into town, or, if you wanted to camp, outside of a national park, you can drive into it. So for the first year we had our A, we didn't have a tow vehicle. So you're restricted to being at the campground, which is great, but it doesn't really feed that hunger for exploration and national parks. So after the first year, we were able to set up our Jeep for towing, and that's really made a world of difference for us. But even the towing part isn't perfect either, because you need to make sure your car can flat tow. If it can't, then you have to dolly tow, and that has its own set of issues. You can't back up with a flat tow. So, there's issues that you need to weigh the pros and cons. But you know, setting up our vehicle for tow was a game changer for us and has really helped us, you know, explore outside of the campgrounds.
Did you ever, I always want to ask people that flat tow this question, have you ever gotten into a jam and you had to unhook the towed and just to maneuver out of a situation, or have you always been okay not being able to go in reverse?
I have, knock on wood, have not had to, but I'm also very, I do a lot of research. So when I do road trips, you know, I'll go onto the Allstays app and look up the rest stop to kind of get, you know, a Google map view of what it looks like. So that, you know, I can understand if, hey, that's not going to be the gas station for us or the truck stop for us. So do your research, and it makes a world of difference, because the last thing you want to do is have a backed up traffic jam because you're unhooking your tow vehicle because you needed a backup 10 feet or something.
Now, we'll put some pictures in the show notes for this episode of your rig and your towed, you know, and the combination and everything. But would you just tell everybody exactly what model, both rig and towed, you have that you're enjoying right now?
Yeah, we have the Winnebago Vista 31BE is our Class A motorhome. And then we outfitted a Jeep Cherokee for flat towing. And with the Jeep Cherokees, you just need to make sure it has the right type of transmission or the differential that can shift into neutral. Otherwise, it will not be flat tow compatible.
We keep saying we have to do an episode on the towed, and we just haven't fit it in, but it's definitely coming around the corner, and we know that people, you know, definitely need that information. But how long is your Class A in reality, and have you felt like you made the right decision with length? Do you wish you had gone a little smaller or a little bigger?
So our Class A is 31 feet, just shy of 32 feet. And it's been great. It's been, you know, we felt like on the whole, it's been the right size for the phase we're at in our lives. So, you know, that we have room for the kids to, you know, do their thing with all their kid stuff. I always joke with David because he always, you know, we talk about what's next for us. And if when we start to look at our next RV, David says, do you want to go bigger?
40 feet.
And for me, I feel like we're sort of where we're at now is as big as I would want to go. But you know, we're big enough. We're the right size where we can fit in most places. We're not too big for, you know, certain parks and campsites. And so it's been, yeah, for us, it's been great.
Karen, I'm with you. Our toy hauler is 34 feet. And
we went too big.
I honestly think I can swear to the universe right now, I'll never get a bigger RV. And that's just not some universal rule for everybody. That's just what I... And it's not even about the comfort of towing it or worrying about towing it. It really is just more about getting into all the places I want to be able to get into campground-wise. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about decor. You know, you have a good point to make about decor when it comes to motorhome shopping versus travel trailer shopping.
Well, yeah, the decor is sort of a sore spot for me. if I'm being fully honest, you know, I think we live in a time where you watch, you know, HGTV tiny home shows, and you look on Pinterest and Instagram and get all these decorating ideas, and then you go RV shopping and it's like someone designed it in a time warp.
Where's the shiplap? Right?
So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, kind of dated upholstery and cabinet colors and all of that. And, you know, I think the Airstream has done a really good job in particular of really making aesthetically pleasing, interiors, and they're not the only ones, but they're the ones that certainly stick out in my head. And so we would love to see Class A manufacturers get a little bit more, modern and current. I think we talk a lot about the fact that the demographics of, you know, RVers are changing. It's becoming kind of younger families who are looking to break away from the busyness of the 9-to-5. And the decor styles need to reflect that changing demographic. And we're just, they're not.
You know, it's funny too, because you mentioned the Airstream, but also other manufacturers have done that, it seems, more in the van department, right? Mm-hmm. In the Class B. And it is so fascinating to me, like, why you get that more modern aesthetic, not just in the Airstream, but also in the, even the decor of, like, you have a Winnebago. In the Winnebago Class Bs, like the Trovatos and everything. You have a very modern, updated decor, and you just need to say, tell to somebody over there at Winnebago, like, let's bring this over into the Class A world.
And I know they're starting to. I know they have a diesel pusher, the Horizon, which has that Scandinavian look with the straight lines. But that did make it hard for us, because even outside of the Airstreams, when we were looking at just travel trailers, you know, they had the white cabinets or the updated color scheme. But I think it goes down to we get a lot of double looks sometimes when we pull into RV parks, because I think there's that, you know, a lot of people associate Class A's with maybe older couples and grandparents, and the truth is we've met a lot of folks that, you know, are younger families in Class A's, and hopefully if the RV industry is listening, because I know they are, they'll start to they'll start to make those changes.
Yeah, and I think that's why we were so happy to have you guys on the show to talk about it, is because, you know, I think families out there do struggle to hear the perspective of family Class A owners.
And I think that people even younger than all of us really do want an aesthetically pleasing rig. Like they care about it.
But I'd like to emphasize that Karen and David made a wise decision in choosing the RV that was right for them and not the decor that was right for them. That's something that I feel really strongly about when we talk at RV shows and everything. I'm always like, people, you don't buy a RV based on tenant lighting and, you know, all of those kinds of things. Yep. When you're out there on the road, those things aren't going to make or break your relationship with your RV. You know, it's not going to be the decor. It's going to be the livability. So let's just
pick a manufacturer that has a good reputation and a floor plan that works for you. And I think, you know, those are the two best decisions you can make.
And it's amazing what can be spruced up with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of TLC, a couple of throw pillows, a fun bedspread, and all of a sudden, you know, your dated decor has a whole new life.
It's very true. Absolutely. So we want to see the updated decor, but we can't make decisions based on that. I felt like I had to clarify.
At the end of the day, I think most of us agree that it's about spending time outside too. And that's where you guys bring the record player, right? Yeah. Once you pull in. So will you guys always be Class A owners, do you think?
I think we will. You know, I think we will, because, you know, like you said, I don't think you need to go above 32 feet and, you know, or 34 feet, and you're going to get everything you need. You'll get your dinette if you want it. You'll get your sofa if you want it. So I don't know. I think we will.
I think that with the caveat being that we will be as long as we are RVing with our kids. If when they get older and we get older and, you know, presumptively retire and do this a lot more often, I could see us going with some, you know, maybe a Class B or something a little bit smaller, but
and we'll have you on the show for another RV shopping story at that point. Right? Hey guys, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it when we send out the call and we're like, hey, will you talk about this? And you know, you actually wrote an article recently for the Winnebago, Go Life blog? Is that what the name of their blog is? Can you tell everybody what the name of that article was and where they can find it?
Yeah, it was an article about RV features that, you know, we didn't know we would love until we had them. And you can go check it out at the Winnebago Go Life blog.
And where can we find you guys? Where can everybody follow your adventures?
So we are on everywhere. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Spotify, all at The Camping Playlist.
All right, everybody, go follow them and get some good music vibes for your camping
and
experience.
Honestly, you could like follow them on Instagram, like ask them for music recommendations. Yeah,
like Jeremy does.
Like I do. I'll tell them what I'm listening to and see if they approve.
All right, guys, we will see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.